Thanks, Plum, for the moment of stillness and the worship this morning. Having that time to just reflect is not always something that we do necessarily. It almost felt uncomfortable, but yet, you know, I feel that we need that in our lives to just stop and go, okay, just still are, and to think about God and just know that He is the centre of everything that of who we are. I was going to read a little bit, in relation to the readings from 1 John. St. John associates the essential truths, so talking from the readings today, the essential truths of God's kingdom with his personally experienced concourse with the Lord. That's a lot of big words for me. I'm not really good at English. But what that says to me is that, and what I've read, is John was very close to Jesus. Jesus said that John was loved by Jesus, and John loved Jesus. And so what we hear about John testifying to these things is we're hearing a close relationship. So John expresses there, we have seen with our eyes, touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This Christian proclamation is meant to fellowship with God and each other. Integral to living in that light is the cleansing of one's sins by blood of Christ, recognizing and confessing that sin and receiving the cleansing of God to continue in righteousness. And I'm probably going to go over and over that a bit this morning, that it will sink deep into our hearts and that we'll be encouraged to know that we've got to walk in Christ's light, that it's only through Christ, you know, that we can be, and through his grace in our lives. Certainly Jesus does call us on. He does call us and challenge us to live a holy life, to look at his commands. And as it continues there, he's not only speaking that to us as Christian people, that we're to live in righteousness, but that's also meant for the whole world, that God does want to reconcile the whole world to himself. And I feel that's a calling for us, you know, to continue. We have to continue with reaching out to, you know, everyone around us, that they would know Christ's love and light for them. In John chapter 20, in the gospel there, it's amazing how they were locked in a room, the disciples, they were fearful. They'd lost, what seemingly they'd lost their saviour, this one who was going to come and rescue them. And yet Jesus enters the room. The doors are locked, but he appears. So that to me means, well, you know, Christ has changed. Because it also says he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. But he comes to reveal himself in a spiritual way. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus entered the locked room after the resurrection and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It wasn't, they were fearful. So it wasn't a spirit of fear that he was giving them. You know, they were fearful, and he said, peace be with you. And he mentions that three times through this scripture of peace be with you. He really wanted them to to receive God's peace and God's love. There's a few times where it mentions where Jesus or God breathes on his disciples, or before Pentecost. So Pentecost wasn't just the first sort of introduction to the Holy Spirit. Obviously we know there's a Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. But the Holy Spirit is really brought into light, you know, more for us after Jesus' death. At that time, he also said, so he breathed on them, but he also says somewhere here, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. So I thought that was interesting at that time, why Jesus would bring something about sins and forgiving sins when Jesus had appeared to them. I think that could really go into a lot of depth looking into that area. I won't go into it too much, but Jesus is giving over to his disciples and saying, I give you the ability to forgive people's sins, and yet it's only God who can forgive sins. So in my notes it says, since God can only forgive sins, the disciples and the church are here given the authority to declare that what God does when a man either accepts or rejects his son Jesus. And I was also looking into that in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, where it talks about what is bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and what we declare, really speaking of that power and authority that has been given over to us, the church, and the people, how we have direct connection with God the Father. So, yeah, through Jesus' death and resurrection, yeah, it's really given us a lot of power. But not our power, God's power, through us. And are we willing to receive that? Are we willing to walk in what Christ has given us? I'm going to catch my notes. Through the death and resurrection of God, he has given to us his church, the authority over evil, and we should not take this lightly. If we desire to walk in Christ's light, then we must walk in his grace and walk according to his truths, which we find in the Gospels. Jesus' words to us and direction can be fulfilled in us with the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given this to us. Walk in his light. So the Gospels and Jesus point out, you know, very clearly many things that challenge our lives and, you know, how we walk and we follow him. But there's that real, with, you know, these verses talking about the light and the darkness. As I looked into more verses on light, it often brings in the darkness of our lives and how Christ's light comes in there. And where there is light, there is not darkness. And that needs to be our desire in our lives, to live a life according to what God challenges us in his word, to live a life holy and upright. I'm going to read out just a spiel here, which I stole from someone else's sermon as I was looking at this one. Hearing God in truth can never be corrupted. When we hear the word of God, especially the word of Christ, the gospel, we continue receiving faith that enables us to see and walk in the darkness of our humanity with unfallible footsteps. As we receive faith, we see with the light of our risen Lord shining on us, exposing what the darkness once hid. So we break that down a little bit. At the beginning there, hearing God in truth. The truth of God, I know that we search for the truth. We want to know what is the truth. We search through the word. And at times I think we can become a bit confused. It might say this at one point, might say that at one point. But really the word of God, you know, through the Holy Spirit, well, there's a lot of clarity in there. I wanted to run through a few verses in the Bible where it does talk about light. Starting in Psalms. I don't know if you'll be following me, but you could jot them down if you want to. Psalms 27, verses 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defence of my life. Whom shall I dread? And so David, the psalmist here, speaks it pretty clearly. You can't really add or take anything away from that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, David hadn't seen Jesus. Maybe he had. Maybe Jesus had revealed himself to him. I'm not sure. I'm treading out of my depth there. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. And we know that to be true. We really do. Again, in Psalms 119, verses 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. So that one again is calling us. Your word is a lamp to my feet, but also calling us that we shouldn't just, I think like Jonas was sharing last Sunday, not just being a Sunday Christian, but it's right through the week. God calls us to keep his commands, to keep his what? Who's got some words out there? What should we be keeping that God has given us? His word? Guidelines? Nature? His character. They're all great, great things. His love. The narrow way. Yeah, staying on the path. I certainly had that. That was a picture that I had at one point with reading through all this, that I guess like a car at night time with those headlights on, shining down the road, trying to envisage walking in, what does it look like to walk in Christ's light? Walking under that the power and authority of God, walking in obedience to Him. Another verse, John 3:18. I'm going to read a few verses here from 18 down to 21. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth and comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Who likes this translation? I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. I wonder what the message would say in that one. Probably something clear and good for us. Does anyone have the message out there? John 3:18. Let's put you on the spot. Got another mic, Lester.
It's actually 16 to 18. Well, 16 to 18 says, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in Him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in Him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to Him." Now, this is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and delusion, hates God's light. Hates God's light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But everyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God's light, so the work can be seen for the God work it is.
It's very powerful. The light streaming. Yeah, thanks, Rosaline. So there's a number of places that the Word of God really brings this light to life for us. Another passage there that I was going to look at was Ephesians 5:8. Similar again, very similar. Starting at verse 6, so Ephesians 5, verses 6. I was going to read a couple of verses here as well. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the light, you know, in those verses and other ones, the light dispels the anxieties and the dangers of the darkness. Your word is, back to the Psalms 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I know when I'm preparing for these teachings, I tend to read a whole lot more of the Bible than I, in one big chunk. And I tend to go from here and there and look at this and look at that and wonder how it all fits together. I know it's good for my life. And we know that Jesus says it's good to have the word in your life. The devil can't stand up against the word of God. The devil knows the word of God. He can try and trick us. And that's why we need to read. We need to know the word of God. And that truth that runs in with the light, and that God's talking about here, is in the gospel. We need to be feeding on that. So just finishing up, a few words that I've put together. So we walk in relationship with Jesus. We walk in humility, taking up our cross daily, allowing Christ's light to shine into our soul, our life, our heart, and reveal the things and the areas that are not godly. To walk in his light, to give away our evil desires and allow God's purifying blood to cleanse us, you know, through his grace. And this continue to make us into his disciples. If you want to be followers of Christ, if we want to be in the world, not of the world, being able to speak into other people's lives, you know, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you to keep reading the Word, keep filling your lives,